often that in the scripture readings that all of the readings have a consistent overall theme. And so from the first reading to the responsorial psalm, to the second reading, the gospel, there is a strong theme that permeates the scriptures. And so from Isaiah, we hear what? About those who are foreigners doing what is right, following the Lord, respecting the Sabbath, and their sacrifice is going to be acceptable to God. So this would have been something very alien to the Israelite people and something very hard to swallow, that the message, that the good news, that salvation could go outside of their circle. And then in the responsorial psalm, the refrain that we sung together was what? See, I have to look it up. That's why I brought this. Oh God, let all the nations praise you. All the nations, not just the chosen people of God. So again, it's permeating out. And St. Paul to the Romans, he calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles. What's a Gentile? How do you define a Gentile? It literally means not a Jew. So not part of the chosen people. And there was serious difficulty in the early church that these outsiders could be part of God's plan and have the same Messiah as the chosen people. And so he flaunts it. He's proud of it, St. Paul is. And in the gospel, who is the woman, what's her ethnic background, who is coming to plead for the healing of her daughter? She's a Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile. She is not a Jew. So this going out beyond the kind of the comfort level, certainly, of the people, but according to God's plan to all nations, is a call that's imperative in our readings today. So when it comes to this mission to go out, we might think, is that really what we're about? Because as a Catholic Church, so often we have lived in a way, or our attitude has been kind of, you come to us. More the passive approach. We've established ourselves, right? And so kind of have the monopoly. And so we don't have to reach out and go out and extend out. But that's not the dynamic of the gospel. The dynamic of the gospel, the trajectory of the gospel, is to push out. And that's why at the end of Mass we're sent out into the world. What does the word Catholic mean? Universal. Universal. So that's the essence of who we are as Christians. We are missionary in nature. So that being said, let's turn to a more challenging topic as far as carrying out this missionary work, this going out into the world to bring the good news. What does that look like? How do we go about that? How do we approach it? This is the big challenge. We can talk theory and abstractness about how we're called to go out, but when it gets down to it and we meet other people and we encounter others, how is this going out? What does it look like? Pope Francis, I think, gives us some very good direction and counsel in regards to living true to ourselves as a missionary church. He talks in a... there's published basically a communication between him and a rabbi from Argentina, Rabbi Skorka, some dialogues between him and the rabbi while he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires. And in that, in the book that's published, in the introduction, Pope Francis speaks about how we need to be focused on creating a culture of encounter. A culture of encounter, a whole way of living and relating that's promoting dialogue, togetherness, unity, versus separateness, contention, an adversarial attitude. And he says that this culture of encounter that really allows for the truth to come together, the truth to come forth, and for us to be free, begins in dialogue. So dialogue is essential to this culture of encounter that he wants to promote and that's necessary for us to carry out our mission. And so he lists some descriptions of what this dialogue is supposed to look like when we have dialogue with another. He says, dialogue is born from a respectful attitude towards the other person. This is so important. This has to be at the ground level when we communicate with others, that there's an equality between myself and the other, and that we are human beings. We are equal. Because otherwise, if we don't have that common respect for the dignity of the other, right there, that foundational respect, anytime we talk about a difference, what's going to happen is I'm going to personalize it and see it as an attack against me, or I'm attacking you. But if there's a mutual understanding that we are even to the point maybe we have moved towards friends, or that we have true respect, I really respect you, and you know that, then we can talk about difficult and challenging matters, right? And so oftentimes, it doesn't begin with that respect. And so then any kind of dialogue is compromised. And so then you can't have a culture of encounter, and you can't further the mission of Christ and the church. He also says, this is a kicker. He says, a conviction that the other person has something good to say. There's a word I want to hone in on here. A conviction that the other person has something good to say. So it's not a matter of, well, I'll listen to them out. They might have something good to say. No, it's a conviction that they have something that's truthful, that's something that's valuable to be communicated. When we meet up with others to visit, to dialogue about things that we don't agree upon, do we have a conviction that they have something good to say, or are we immediately creating a rebuttal and a response? A response is certainly going to come, right? But we have to first begin with that respect and dignity, which values the other person, and that they have something legitimate to say, something of value. The third characteristic or element of this dialogue, which is part of the culture of encounter, it would fall under for us in stewardship, is hospitality. He talks about a warm reception of the other. A warm reception of the other. And then he goes into some barriers for this dialogue to happen. Some of the barriers he talks about first about misinformation. Wow, that's a big one. So often we just have part of the story, and then we make a crystallized final judgment in regards to the person or to the subject. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, whose cause is up for canonization, he said there's not one person who hates the Catholic Church, but there's millions who hate what they perceive to be the Catholic Church. They have parts. They have some of the information. And how often do we do that? We go into a conversation thinking that we understand and grasp the entirety of the matter, and then we really come in as judgers. He also speaks about gossip, prejudices, defamation, and slander as inhibitors, as obstacles to this culture of dialogue. So he gives us some very good direction in how to go about this dialogue and conversation that's going to lead to life and to unity. And maybe it really has to start within our own families, in our workplaces, that we can have these kind of courageous conversations that are going to affect change without it leading to becoming enemies or adversarial in nature. But we have to start off by respecting the dignity of the other person and seeing that they have something of value to share with us. I mean, I don't do this all the time. You know, sometimes I do it poorly, and I end up creating a hostile culture and not a culture of encounter. But there's times that I do open myself when someone who is, you know, basically has something to say that is a critique, you know, of the Catholic Church or maybe the priesthood. For example, the foolishness of celibacy. Then if I can be open to that, I have to dig deeper for the reasons that I believe this or embrace this way of life. And so what happens is, if I'm open to the other person having something of value to say, this can lead me to have have a more authentic self, to be transformed and changed myself. Think about this also, before I go there, this is really about discernment. The dialogue helps us discern, to discern literally means to cut into pieces. So I can separate the wheat from the chaff, you might say. So this person has a critique, maybe, you know, Catholics are idol worshipers, right? Statue worshipers. Look at all these statues that they have everywhere. Well, is it the case that sometimes that we can be over the top when it comes to our devotion, to the point that it compromises some of our core beliefs? Is it the point that sometimes people talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary much more than they talk about our Lord? Absolutely, right? And so it allows us to be challenged to kind of refine our own beliefs and put things into proper order. This culture of encounter, this dialogue, which allows us to further the mission, right, to be universal, I think it's really needed in today's day and age. Think about all of the things that are emerging in our culture that are really in contradiction to our Catholic belief system. We're going to have to be better at dialoguing and not personalizing these matters as attacks against us. Otherwise, we're going to be able to make very little progress. You know, think about things that have come up, same-sex marriage, right? Just war. I remember, as far as like the same-sex marriage controversy coming up, and people say, well, you're not treating them, these people with dignity. It forced me to like be open, okay, well, how do we understand this? Well, we have to, okay, if we discern, which is to separate into pieces, what are we saying? We're not saying that the person has a lesser dignity, not at all. They have the same dignity and deserve the same respect as anyone else does. We're not saying that the desire itself is sinful. Okay, no. We're saying that acting on a particular desire is in contradiction to our human nature. Just in the same way as we would say acting on the desire to commit adultery is a contradiction to our human nature, or to engage in certain kind of acts before marriage is contrary to God's plan. And so allowing us to separate these things out through authentic dialogue, which begins by respecting the other person, allows us to move forward and to help us to realize that, okay, I can see it's not a condemnation of the person. And it can move us away from, you know, like when you're working with a child, sometimes the child, if you say that the child has done something wrong, the child personalizes and says, well, I'm bad then, right? Well, that's not what you're saying. But we do want to make progress towards what is true and towards what is right. And if we can help by having good dialogue and a culture of encounter to talk about these things, we're going to be able to move so much further as a people, as in oneness, as Christ prayed before his death, that they all might be one. And so we as Catholics are called to go out and bring the good news, to have authentic dialogue. We're going to have to be persons of prayer, and we're going to have to be persons of humility, and we're going to have a greater and deeper understanding of our faith, to allow ourselves to be challenged. If we do this, new horizons are going to be open and new vistas for the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to transform ourselves, our parish, our families, and the world.